Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel in Masechta Shabbos. We're continuing. We started the 12th parak of Shabbos yesterday. We concluded the 11th parak of Shabbos. That was parak of Zorek. That dealt with all the details of carrying on Shabbos, and more specifically, toladas of carrying, throwing, passing, and all the various forms of transferring from one domain to another domain, and going for Amos and the Rosh Hasharabim, and that was what we concluded yesterday. We also began yesterday the 12th parak of Shabbos. In the 12th parak of Shabbos now, an exciting parak, it deals with other malachas on Shabbos, and we get to speak in more detail about the other malachas of Shabbos. We are on the bottom of Kuv Beis Amud Beis, and we're continuing from what we left off yesterday. We talked about the Malacha of Binyan yesterday, Bona. The Mishnah taught us that if you're a Bona Kol Shehu, so you're going to be Chayev. Any amount of building, you're going to be Chayev. And we talked about various forms of building. Building, chiseling, Makeh B'Patish, we'll talk about more. Drilling. All these are forms of Binyan, and therefore you're going to be Chayev. The Gemara yesterday brought down a Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding various actions, whether they are a function of Makeh B'Patish or whether they're a function of Bona. Remember, we gave three different examples of what the three of them were arguing about. One of them was making an exhaust hole in the chicken coop. So in other words, you basically finish building your chicken coop, but then it needs an exhaust. The chickens are exhaustive, and they spent 3 years of my life on a chicken farm. It was where my yeshiva was situated in Eretz Yisrael, but okay. So anyway, but it was right directly on a chicken farm. So in these chicken farms, chicken coops need exhaust. Otherwise, the gas that accumulates inside of it is harmful for the chickens. So that was the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether that's a talad of Bona, that's a talad of Makeh B'Patish. Putting a handle into the shovel, attaching the wooden handle to the metal blade, and not only putting it in, but really solidifying it in there, right, wedging it inside. So that's also another machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether that's a Tolad of Binyan or Makeh B'Patish. I didn't mention this yesterday, but the position of Rav, that it's Bona, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult position to understand. Normally we say that the Ein Binyan B'Kelim, that there is no Binyan when it comes to Kelim. Binyan is only something which is connected to the ground. So, okay, there was a third one as well. What was the third one? Misases. I'm sorry, chiseling out of stone. All right, chiseling out of stone. Another machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether that's Bona or whether it's Makeh B'Patish. Okay, good. So the, okay, good. That's where, that's what we got up to yesterday. We're four lines from the bottom of the Amud. And we're continuing from where we left off. Ba minei Rav Nasan bar Oshia mi Rav Yochanan. Misases mishum mai mechayev. So why give mechayev for misases? For chiseling out stones, for smoothing out the stones. So achva lebiade mishum Makeh B'Patish. So he showed him with his hands. In other words, he went up and down with his hands, kind of like hitting the hammer on the anvil. And in other words, he was demonstrating Makeh B'Patish. So the Gemara says v'hanan tanan ha misases v'ha Makeh B'Patish. So the Gemara says okay. But it doesn't read well in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah, when presenting Mistases, it says Mistases v'ha Makeh B'Patish. So it sounds like they're two different categories. Ema Mistases ha Makeh B'Patish. Okay, so when you read the Mishnah, either you're going to correct the Mishnah or understand the Mishnah this way, either way. But in other words, the Mishnah is going to be Mistases ha Makeh B'Patish, not the Vav. It's not two separate categories. It's the same thing. Tashma the Gemara continues, HaKodech Kol Shehu Chayev. So then the Mishnah goes on to drilling. Drilling, it says the Mishnah, is a kol shehu. So bishlam alarav mechze kamanda de charchurta lebinyana. So the Gemara says, now according to Rav, I understand, meaning it's Bona. And it's you're basically preparing a hole for continuous building. So that I totally understand. And I also understand, says Rashi, the shear of kol shehu. So we're gonna fill it in. Meaning, let's say you're drilling so that you can put a screw in there. But in other words, it's a function of binyan. So that I totally understand. But Elo Shmuel Lav Gemar Malachu. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel says it falls in the category of Makeh B'Patish. Well, what do you mean? Makeh B'Patish means this is the final act. What's the final act about drilling a hole? So the Gemara says, Hachma Ma'izkin in Debaze Beramsa De Parzala Vishavke Begave Dehainu Gemar Malacha. So according to Shmuel, what you're going to have to suggest is somehow that drilling turns into the Gemar Malacha. So how exactly is that going to work? So it's a nail, it's a long nail made up of iron. We basically need to hang something on top of it. And so somehow the drilling is going to turn into the Makeh B'Patish, it's going to turn into the final act. Okay, so that's how Shmuel is going to understand how drilling is not going to be a tolada of Bona, but rather that of Makeh B'Patish. Okay, so again, a number of machloks in between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to categorize, whether to put it on the category of Binyan or whether to put it under Makeh B'Patish. I said yesterday, I'll repeat quickly again today, what difference does it make? Meaning it's Chil Shabbos, either way. It's right? So the basic nafkamina, although the Gemara doesn't spell this out over here, is going to be for that of Asra. Right, you see somebody doing something, you want to warn the person, don't do that, it's Shabbos, and then you want to explain to the person why you're not allowed to do that, and you don't want to, in other words, you have to explain to him because you're not going to be, it's not considered Asra unless you first share with him what exactly the Isser is. So over here, what are you going to share with him? Well, it's either Bona or it's Makeh B'Patish.
Is there a solution or not?
Huh? No. No.
Then you have to say
him. Right. In other words, I mentioned this yesterday. In other words, now it's a little bit strange. We have Machlok Rav and Shmuel, and so now you're going to sound like a real Lamdan when you warn the person. Well, you know, you're drilling a hole into the wall on Shabbos. It's Machlok between Rav and Shmuel, whether it's Bona or whether it's Makeh B'Patish. So. All right. It doesn't feel like that's going to be the right time to go over a machlokus in the Gemara. All right. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. When you go back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah wraps it up, and the Mishnah says, Zaklau, this is a general. If you do an act and your act is miskayem, so you're going to be chayev. Now, by the way, it's interesting. I didn't mention this yesterday. I'll mention it briefly right now. When we read that Mishnah from yesterday, Zehaklal Kol Ha'osim Malachu Malachtu Miskayemis, you certainly get the sense that in order for a malacha to be a malacha, it has to have lasting effect. Meaning something which is temporary, you're not going to be chayev. All right, it'll be aser, but you will not be chayev. Won't be a chil Shabbos for doing so. How long does it have to last? So the Mishnah doesn't tell us, although some Rishonim read, and this is the way the Rambam seems to read the Mishnah as well, the Mishnah says, Umalachto miskayemes bashabbos, meaning that's actually one phrase, that it has to last through the duration of Shabbos, meaning that's what's considered kiyum. So some Rishonim are of the opinion that if you do something which lasts for at least 24 hours, so that's going to be something which is miskayem. So how did they get to the number 24 hours? It's in the Mishnah. Now, again, you didn't have to read the Mishnah that way. There's another way to read the Mishnah, but it is a valid way of reading the Mishnah, and some say that the Rambam read the Mishnah that way. Okay. Zaklal lasuye. My lasuye dacha kapiza bekava. Now, obviously, when the Mishnah says Zaklal, the Mishnah is always coming to allude to something. It's coming to teach us that there's another halacha embedded in the Mishnah. So what is it? Dacha kapiza bekava. What does that mean? You have a big block, and really what you could do is you could carve out a full kav hole in the block, and what you did is that you only carved out most of the hole. You didn't carve out all of the hole. So and you even plan on adding a little bit more to the hole later on. As long as right now you're satisfied with your work, that's considered a gemar malacha, and you're going to be chayev on Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Amakeh Bekornos Al Hasdan, hitting the hammer on the anvil. So the Mishnah illustrates this as an example of Makeh B'Patish. So if you hit, at least according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if you hit the hammer on the anvil, so you're going to be chayev. Why? It's like you are doing tikkun malacha. Now hitting the hammer on the anvil. Now the Mishnah does not say that you're hitting anything on the anvil. In other words, you're not flattening out a piece of metal. All you're doing is simply taking the hammer and you're just hitting the anvil with it. So the Gemara is going to ask a really simple question. Well, why would you be chayev? What are you doing? What are you doing that constitutes the creative act? So the Gemara starts off from Shigum Alamir, Amaka Bakorna Salas Dan Maika Avid, Rabba Virav Yosef Dami Tavai Mim Meshima Amen Es Yado. You're learning. What an interesting suggestion. You're learning. Ma'amin Yadav Rashi. Margilunu Mechavnan Lahaka Ru'uya Malacha Maka Gedolo Maka Katana. In other words, and also as part of being a good smith, you got to know sometimes when to hit it strong, when to hit it not so strong, and sometimes you need a delicate hand. So in other words, you're learning. And because you're learning, yeah, you'll get a rhythm going. And because you're learning, so therefore you're going to be chayiv. Now, kasha be bnei rachva alamiata haom nasa b'shabasa v'gamar hachinami demechayiv. Really? And every single time you become more proficient and more professional, and any time you're going to learn something, you're going to be chayiv. Meaning on Shabbos, part of the malacha is learning. Okay, the Gemara says can't be. So hachanami demechayiv ala abay v'ravi v'ravi damitavai rishikain mirada deitase mishkan osin kain. The Gemara's answer is, and this seems to be the pretty much the final answer, is that this is how those who were banging out metal in the Mishkan, this is what they would do. Rashi clarifies the Gemara's answer a little further. And Rashi says what they would do is as follows. If let's say they needed to bang out a piece of metal, but in other words, make it flat. So they would take the hammer and they would bang out the metal. But now the hammer got a little bit bent and a little bit distorted. So in order to make sure that the head of the hammer is flat, what they would then do is they would then hit the anvil with the hammer strong so that the head of the hammer remains flat, a flat surface. And then they would go back and continue flattening out whatever metal they were flattening out. In other words, tikkun mana, it's a correcting the utensil, the hammer. It's the hammer that's receiving a tikkun when I hit it with the anvil. Right, Rashi says, makin gimel atas, v'achas alas dan. Three times I'm hitting the metal sheet, and then one time I'm hitting the anvil, lahachlik hakornas, in order to smooth out the hammer, shalo yivake hatas, so that the next time I hit the metal sheet, I won't rip or tear the metal sheet. Shehudak, because the metal sheet is very thin. Ubale matbea bimkamen reisi osin kain, and Rashi says, and I went on a field trip. Okay, well, we should do that every now and then. Rashi says, I went on a field trip, I watched them mint coins, and Rashi says, and that's what they did. They took the hammer or whatever they used to press and mint the coins, and they banged it out, and then they went to hammer on the coin.
They still do that today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. Okay. I went to in Atlanta this summer. We went to the Federal Reserve Bank in Atlanta. But they just showed us. No, there is just money. Just dollar bills. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah continues. We are up to the malacha of choresh, plowing. Okay, now I know I asked the question yesterday. What's the order? So, right, so a number you pointed out to me yesterday that we're going backwards. But as I mentioned yesterday, right, we stopped going backwards. Now we're just totally out of rhythm. Meaning choresh is which malacha on Shabbos? That's the second malacha, if I remember correctly. On Shabbos, so we're really not in any particular order. All right.
You can say it's like the opposite of boning a little bit, you know, because you
could be, and also maybe right. Perhaps also Chorish comes up now is my suggestion. Take it for what it's worth. Perhaps Chorish comes up now because also the shear is a kol shehu, just like the shear of bone is a kol shehu. So to the shear of Chorish is a kol shehu. Maybe. Anyway, Hachorish kol shehu. So plowing. So plowing basically means any improvement of land. Meaning the malacha is that we want to prepare the land because we're going to plant a seed. We're going to lay a seed down on the land. So anytime I do any type of land improvement, so that's going to be a function of the malacha of choresh. So the Mishnah starts off, Hachorich kol shehu, any amount you'll be chayev. Ha-menachesh va-mekarseim va-mezareid. Menachesh is weeding. Mekarsem, trimming of the trees, and mizare is pruning. So any amount of that is going to be chayev. Now, in all these circumstances, not all, not choresh, not actually plowing, but when you are weeding, when you're trimming, you're pruning, really two things are happening concurrently. Meaning, number one, you're improving the land, and number two, you also are walking home with twigs, otherwise known as tolesh. So, the Mishnah is going to be sensitive to that. Hamalakid eitzim. If I gather wood, gather over here does not mean gathering, meaning it's on the ground, but if I go ahead and I trim the tree, A, to improve the ground, and B, so I can walk home with wood. So it depends now what your intent is. Im lasakein, if your intention is land improvement, so now what you're doing is basically choresh, and the shear is going to be kol shehu. So im lahesek. However, if your intent is I want to go home with the wood, so then kedelavashal beitzakala. So now we're going to go to the shear of tolesh, which is the amount of wood necessary in order to cook a chicken egg. Hamalaket asavim, and we're going to say the same thing regarding ripping out grass. Imla sakein, if I'm doing so for land improvement purposes, kolshu, the shear is a shear of choresh, which is a kolshu. Imla behema, kimla pigadi, if I'm doing so that my animal will eat. So then we go back to a shear, which we discussed in the fifth parak of Shabbos, which is k'mo piagdi, the mouthful of the goat. Now lamai chazi. Now again, we go back to a discussion which we had yesterday. When you say shear kol shehu, it doesn't mean that the act itself is chayiv. Meaning, excuse me, there has to be some sort of significance to the act. What's the significance of chorish kol shehu? What are you going to do with just a little bit of plowing? Chazi lebizra dekra, one pumpkin seed, meaning that once I plow a little bit of land, so it'll be just enough to plant one pumpkin seed, and that is, in terms of Melech HaShabbos, significant. Because when we go back to the Mishkan, Shekin Roi L'Kalech Echad Shel Simanim, because that's what they would do in terms of cooking up one simon, meaning that they would, it was worth it for them to plow enough to plant one seed in order for the production of the dyes used to dye the urea samishkan. Hamenachesh v'amekarsim v'amizarei tan rabbanan, the Gemara clear quotes the Brisa. Hatolish olshin v'amizarei zradim. If I rip out olshin, endives, some sort of green, hamizarei zradim, or another type of pruning, imla achila kegrogris, so if I want to eat it, so the shears are grogris. Imla behema kemla piagadi, if I want to give it to my animal, the shears are piagadi, the mouthful of a goat. Im lehasek, if it is in order to cook something up, kedei lavashal beitzakala, it is enough. I'm sorry, I need enough to cook a chicken egg. Im liyafas is a karka, and once I'm ripping it out for grand improvement, kol shehein. So then the shear is going to be a kol shehu. Okay, now the Gemara asked the question. Perhaps some of you were thinking about this question earlier. What difference does it make what your intention is? Meaning, when I'm pulling the grass out of the ground, I am improving the land. Okay? And once I'm improving the land, so you can have all the other intentions in the world, but when all said and done, I am improving the land. So why does the shear get adjusted based on what your intent is when all said and done, you are improving the land? So the Gemara says, "Atu kulo lo liyafos es akarkaninu." Every single time you're ripping grass out of the ground, aren't you weeding? Aren't you improving the ground? Shouldn't the shear always be a kol shehu? Rabba v'Rav Yosef, dami tava ba'agam shanu. Answer number one of the Gemara is, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, we're speaking specifically about a swamp, for reasons that I don't fully understand. The swamp doesn't need this type of weeding. It doesn't really improve the ground of the swamp. And so therefore, if I'm pulling out the grass in a swamp, so now it depends what my intention is. If my intention is for me to eat it, I know grass I don't eat, but olshin or zradim, which are edible by humans. So if I'm going to eat it, grogris. If I'm pulling it out for my animal, piagadi. If I'm pulling it out so I can cook with it, beitzakala. If I'm pulling it out because I want to improve the ground, kol shehu. So they are mokim, they give no kimta of the brisa. Abai amar filotema besade delav agam. Abai says no. We can even be talking about where it's not a swamp, it's a regular piece of land. I'm pulling the grass out of a regular piece of land. It's just simply not my intention. I'm not intending to improve the ground. It's happening mimela. So the Gemara says, okay, I know your intention is not to improve the ground, but hey, it's happening. It's going to happen regardless. This is what's called a psik resha. Psik resha, as we described already a number of times throughout this mesechta, is psik resha. If I cut off the head, is the chicken not going to die? And my argument of, well, I don't really want the chicken to die. I just want my child to play with something, and he would be extraordinarily happy if I gave him the head of a chicken to play with. Okay? So, but the argument of psik resha velo yamos, if I chop off the head, it won't die. Of course it'll die. That's the prototype example of psik resha. So here also, when I'm pulling the grass out of the ground, so what am I going to argue now? Well, I'm not really intending to improve the land. I just want the grass. All said and done, this is a psik resha. And even Rabbi Shimon, who is Mekel by Davishen Miskavin, and says that a Davishen Miskavin is Mutter, but if it's a Psik Resha, he argues, Abayin Rav explained to us that, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is Aser. And no, there's no argument over here. Everyone agrees to this. So, Lo Tzricha Dekave Ba'ar Dechave. So the Gemara says something interesting. Well, I am not pulling the grass out of my own field, out of my own property. I'm pulling the grass out of my friend's property. And therefore what? So we'll start with Rashi. Rashi says something interesting. Lo ichbet le leyafos. And so therefore I don't care. So now we're going to introduce an idea into the world of Davishen Miskavin. A very interesting idea, which is that we say Davishen Miskavin is mutter. Right? Let's go through the sequence from the beginning. On Shabbos you're not allowed to do malacha. If I wasn't intending to do that malacha, that malacha is a byproduct of what I'm doing, so then there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's still asur on Shabbos, and Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Then if it's the psik resha, meaning if that secondary consequence is inevitable, so then Abai and Rava say that Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's still asur to do. Then what we're now suggesting, at least according to Rashi, is that if I don't care about the secondary result, even though it's inevitable, so then it would be fine. So that means to say, I'm pulling grass out of my neighbor's property. Now, it's not mine, it's my neighbor's. Now, I know we should care about our neighbors, okay? And I do care about my neighbors. But in other words, but I'm not really interested in improving his land. Now, I understand there are other issues over here. Did you ask permission to take his grass? All right, but right now we're just focusing on the topic of Chilul Shabbos. So I don't care. It's low ichbat late. Now it doesn't make a difference to me whether his land is improved or not. And so what the Gemara now is arguing is, even if it's a psik resha, it still would be okay. Now this seems to be Rashi's opinion. Rashi says it. And if it's, and it's not only is it Rashi's opinion, but here now we have Tosfos who discusses this at length. So I want to take a couple of minutes.
Malacha was still done.
Yes, agreed. I want to take a couple of minutes now because this topic comes up a number of times throughout Shas, and today is one of the main spots in the Gemara where the Gemara discusses this, where the Gemara alludes to this, and Tosfos discusses this at length. The other big place is going to be in Sufas and Daf Vav, where there's a big discussion in Tosfos. But over here, let's go through this. So now, what we're going to call this is a psik resha. Meaning it's inevitable, the secondary result is inevitable, but I don't care. I'm not interested in it. It doesn't benefit me, and so therefore now there's an argument to make, which is it's going to be okay on Shabbos. Now our Gemara pretty much says it. Meaning our Gemara says that I pulled grass out of my neighbor's property on Shabbos. I wasn't intending to improve his ground. Lo ichpat lei, doesn't benefit me. And so, therefore, it's going to be mutter. And take a look at Tosfos Perish Baruch. If I can quote Tosfos, lo ichpat lei. Agreed. Okay. I'll quote Tosfos inside. Lo tzricha David bar dechavre Perish Baruch de bepsik reisha de lo nichalei could go into kavet bar dechavre. So it's funny. The Aruch feels that this is a case of lo nichalei. Right. I do hear the difference between Rashi and Tosfos of lo ichbat versus lo niche. Or let's say somebody who's not your friend. So she'en lo nahana. Or let's say you're clipping off the makomila, the arla, and there happens to be tsaras on that spot where you're clipping off. And lo nichale. Mutter lechatchila ve'afilu iser derabanan leka. And so Tosfos quotes the Aruch. Aruch is an early Rishon, and it says that it's mutter. In other words, it's beyond the point of not a malacha. It's beyond the point of not being aser of an iser derabanan. It's mutter legamre according to the Aruch. Based on that, v'hitter Rabbi Chavi shepaku bepishtan laaser psak apakaku limshach b'menu yayin. So based on this. A barrel of wine that was stuffed up with linen. So in other words, linen was basically used back then as the cork. And now, and it's totally saturated with wine. And so what one of the Balei HaTosfos allowed is to open it up on Shabbos, lahaser apkach v'limshach mimenu yayin b'Shabbos, afal pishi yifsher shelo yizchot kishemeser apkach. Now, what you're going to be doing with that linen that you're pulling out is you're going to be squeezing that linen as it's coming out, and you're going to be squeezing wine out of the linen, and that's a malacha, that's a talada of schita. And he says that it's fine, because my intention is not to squeeze. My intention is just simply to open up the barrel of wine. And this is happening as a secondary result. It's a davar sheino miskaven, and I know it's going to happen, and I know it's inevitable, but lo nichale, I'm not benefiting from it. What's going to happen to that wine that gets squeezed out of the opening? Out of that pekak, it's going to go down on the floor and fall on the floor. And I'm not getting any benefit from it. Mutter. So therefore, he feels that it's mutter to do so. Okay, so we have now presented to us the opinion of the Aruch that a psikresha de lo nichale is mutter. Ve'eno nira. And now what Tosus is going to do is he's going to argue with this. And he feels that no, I do not agree that a psikresha is going to be prohibited on Shabbos, even if I'm not interested in the result of the psikresha. And so now he's going to give a number of examples. Now, I'm going to... There are so many examples over here in this Tosfos, in which he goes through meaning. Squeezing an abscess on Shabbos. Removing a splinter on Shabbos. Sprinkling wine on the Mizbeach on Shabbos when some of the drops of wine are going to fall on the fire and put out the fire. Another example of Psikresha de lo nichale. And removing the berries from your hadas on Sukkos, meaning the hadasim, nowadays you don't see it, but back in the good old days, the hadasim had a number of berries on them. The Mishnah tells us that it cannot have more berries than leaves. If it does so, it's going to be pasul. And what about removing the berries on Yontif? The Gemara says he can't because it's tikkun mana. But then the Gemara says if it's not your hadas, or if you already have kasher hadas, so then it would be fine. Why? Because it's psikresha delo nichale. So again, these are a number of examples throughout Shas where you see that the psikresha delo nichale seems to be mutter. And what Tosfos is going to argue that in all these cases, it's mutter, but for a different reason. So let's go to all the way to the end of Tosfos. So now, if you are signing like the Aruch, that psikresha delo nichale is mutter, so you understand our Gemara. Our Gemara's punchline is that if I'm ripping grass out on Shabbos, and it's not in my field and somebody else's field, so it's fine. Aren't you improving the land? Yeah, it's not my land. Psikresha de lo nichale. Fine. According to Tosfos, what are you going to do about our Gemara? Tosfos, who does not agree with the Aruch. So Tosfos writes at the very bottom, No. I'm sorry, where is it? Is it further up? It's in the middle of Tosos. The Alpha Pishan and Nebuchadnezzar, Haya Asr, Elav, and Shum Sar de Gufa. The Hadakamar Lotricha Davi Bar de Chavre. Okay. It's right in the middle of Tosos. It's the first word in the line is de Chavre. When our Gemara says that I'm going in someone else's field, our Gemara doesn't mean that it's mutter. Our Gemara just simply means that you're not chayev a carbon chatas, meaning it's not a malacha d'oraisa, but it's still going to be aser midrabanan. It's a fair reading in our Gemara, meaning our Gemara doesn't say what it is. Our Gemara just simply says you're not going to be chayev. So Tosfos says that the way to properly understand our Gemara is that all that's happening is being downgraded from an Issa D'Oraisa down to an Issa D'Rabbanan, but it's not Mutter L'Gamrei. Okay, so it's a major discussion in Tosfos over here, and he does this a couple times throughout Shas, where if it's a Psik Reisha, the Lo Nichale, and Phil, I think, made an excellent observation, the subtle difference between Lo Nichale versus Lo Ichbale. But either way, meaning I'm doing an act, it is definitively going to happen, both my intended action and the secondary action. They're both going to absolutely happen. And what if I don't care for the secondary action? Either lo ichpat le, I don't care for, lo nichale, or I don't want the secondary action. So then would that be okay? So the Aruch is quoted by Tosu, says that would be okay. Rashi seems to side with that as well. I guess you could debate it. But Rashi seems to side with that as well. And Tosus disagrees. Tosus says that no, that a Davashena Miskavin, which is a Psik Resha de Lonichale, is going to be Aser. And he's going to go through all the Gemaras, our Gemara over here, and all the other Gemaras that he goes through over here. And he's going to have to learn the Gemaras up in terms of how to defend his position. Okay? Big topic. We are continuing in the Mishnah on the bottom of, I'm sorry, in the middle of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we're up to the Malacha of Tziva. And now, our Mishnayos over here are going to take us through the Malacha of Kosev. And we'll be discussing Kosev for the remainder of today's Daf, tomorrow's Daf, and a little bit on Daf Kofhei. Ha-Kosev Shtei Osios Bein Biyamino Bein Mismolo Bein Mishim Echad Bein Mishnei Shemos Bein Mishnei Simanios V'chol Lashon Chayev. If you write with two letters on Shabbos, whether you write with your right hand or whether you write with your left hand, whether you write one letter or whether you write two different letters, meaning the same, sorry, the same letter, or whether you're writing two different letters, whether you're writing in one color or two different colors, whether you write in any language, you are going to be chayev. I'm Rav Yossi, lo chayev u'shtei osios, ela mishum roshem. Rav Yossi says it doesn't even have to be a letter. It would be sufficient if it were just a marking. Markings are also considered writing. Because we know that there are 48 Karshi HaMishkan, and they were put up. Now remember how you took down your sukkah and you marked off the beams of wood, which one belongs to which one. So in the Mishkan, same story. So they were assembling, disassembling. So they wanted to know which one belonged to which one, so they would mark it off. And so therefore, says Rav Yossi, it doesn't have to be a formal letter. All it has to be is a recognizable symbol to know that this one goes to this one. I'm Rav Yehuda Mitzuna Shem Kat Mishem Gadol. Rav Yehuda says that a person can be chayv writing a small name from a larger name. Shem Shimon. Umishmuel. If, in other words, my intent was to write the name Shimon or Shmuel, and I wrote the first two letters, just Shin Mem, so that's a name also. Shem. One of the three sons of Noach. Speaking of Noach, Noach Minachar. If I intended to write the word Nachar and instead I just write the first two letters, you're going to be chayev. Dan me Daniel. Gad me Gad Diel. Okay. All these are examples of writing a short name out of a long name. Okay, we'll come back. We'll discuss that position of Rabbi Yehuda in just a moment. Now, Bishlam Ayimin Lechayev Mishum de Derech Siva Bekach, Elas Mol Amai, Ha'ein Derech Siva Bekach. So the Gemara asks a really simple question. Look, I understand writing with your right hand, you're going to be chayev because that's how you write. You write with your right hand. But how would you be chayev with writing with your left hand? That's eino derech bekach. That's what we call in halacha a shinui. And as we learned in the beginning, in Perek Hazorik. Right? Hazorik or Amatznia. Either way. We learned just not that long ago that in order to be chayv on Shabbos, you have to do so in the normal way. So why would you be chayv if you wrote with your left hand? So the Gemara says he's a lefty. Atar yad is the Gemara's way of describing a lefty. Okay, so he's a lefty. So if he's a lefty, I understand why he's going to be chayv writing with his left hand, because that's the way he normally writes. But then he shouldn't be chayv writing with his right hand. And our Mishnah says he's going to be chayv whether he writes with his right or he writes with his left. So even if I flip the guy and I make him a lefty, I still don't know the pshat in our Mishnah. Alam Rabbi b'shol b'shtei yadav. Our Mishnah is talking about somebody's ambidextrous. Somebody's ambidextrous is going to be chayv whether he writes with his right hand or whether he writes with his left hand. Rav Yaakov braid the bas Yaakov Amar Hamani Rav Yossi Hidamar lo chayv v'shtei osi osel mishum roshem. Now the Gemara says it makes another suggestion. Maybe our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the whole purpose of Ksiva on Shabbos is because in the Mishkan they were writing on the beams, and their penmanship, you don't get points for penmanship. All you need to do is just simply mark it off so that people know this one belongs to this one. So right hand, left hand, it's not going to make a difference. So the Gemara points out, V'ha mid the sefer Rav Yossi, Reisha lav Rav Yossi. Okay, you could suggest that, but it doesn't really fit into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah brings in Rav Yossi as if the Tanakhama doesn't agree with Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, cooler Rav Yossi. Well, what you could argue is that the entire Mishnah from beginning to end is Rav Yossi. So you could defend the answer of Rav Yaakov Berei de Bas Yaakov. Okay. All right, so again, our Mishnah says that if I write with two letters, so you're going to be chayev, even with my right or my left, and the Gemara gives two answers of how you're going to be chayev with both your right and your left. Either, number one, the person we're discussing is ambidextrous, or number two, our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi, where it doesn't have to be really like an excellent writing, but it just simply is a marking off, and you can mark off with your right or with your left. I'm Rav Yehuda Matzino, Ella Rav Yehuda Shtei Osios Vehen Shtei Shemos Huda Mechayev Shtei Osios Vehen Shem Echal Lo Mechayev. Now what about repeating writing the same letter? Now in our Mishnah we learned the Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama says that whether you write one letter repeated twice, or you write the second letter, you either write two different letters, so you're going to be chayev. What about Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda sounds like that, it sounds like from Rav Yehuda that if I repeat the same letter, I'm not going to be chayev. So the time the Gemara quotes a bright, so v'asei achas yachal shiichtov kol hashem, v'ashi areg kol habegen, v'ashi ase kol hanafa, tamalomer me'achas, y'me'achas yachal afil lo kasav ela os achas, v'lo areg ela chut echad, v'lo ase ela bias echad benapa tamalomar achas. So in other words, it can't be a fraction of a unit. On the other hand, the pasuk seems to indicate even if it's part of a malacha. So we're somewhere in between part of a malacha, but it's got to be a complete act. Ha ketzad enochayv achiyichtov shem kad mishem gadol shem mishem onu mishmoal noach min acher dan mi daniel gad mi gadiel. So the Tanakhama of this brisa says yes. It's got to be, it could be a part of an act, but it's also got to have significance in and of itself. So if I write shame from the word Shmuel or Shimon, if I write Noach from Nachor, Dan from Daniel, God from Gadiel, so on one hand, it's part of a word, on the other hand, it's in of itself significant, so then you're going to be chayiv. And Rav Yehuda Omer, afil lo kasav ela shtei osios, v'heim shem echad chayiv. If I write two letters, and even if it's the same letter repeated, I'm going to be chayev kagon. Shin shin, taf taf, resh resh, gimel gimel, ches ches. So.
It's not the meaning. It's not a, it still makes the word. That's the meaning, no? That's
just, some yes, some no. No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. No, they're all words. You're absolutely right. So, I'm Rav Yosef, v'chim ishim kosev hu chayev, alo eno chayev, alo mishim roshin. Shekin roshin, akashe mishkan, leida izu ben zugo. Lefichach, sarat srita achas, or shnei nesarim, or shnei sritos, or neser echad chayev. And then we introduce ourselves to the position of Rav Yosef. This is still the continuation of the Braisa. Rav Yosef says it's not about letters, it's about Rishima. And you don't have to actually write letters. It's enough if you just simply make a marking. A marking would be sufficient. Rabbi Shimon Omer, v'asei achas yachal shiichtov es kol Hashem, asher kol abegad, asher ase kol anafa, tamal omer me'achas. Im me'achas yachal afil lo kasav ela os achas, v'afil lo arga lechut echad, v'afil lo asa ela bayis echad benafa, tamal omer achas. Ha'ketan enu chayev, asher ase malacha, shekayotzi bo miskayemes. That position, Rabbi Shimon, sounds awfully familiar, right? Doesn't it sound exactly like what the Tanakhama says? Okay, we'll come back to that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'asei achas v'asei heina, pamim shechayev achas al kulan, or pamim shechayev al kol achas v'achas. And then Rabbi Yossi concludes by saying that sometimes you're going to be chayev one for many, and sometimes you're going to be chayev on each and every one. Okay, ad kan. That is the end of the braisa. Now that was a very long braisa, but right now we're going to pinpoint on one particular point of the braisa, and that is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. If you go back to the Braisa and you go three lines down from the top of the Amud, you're going to see the position of Yehuda, which is, even if I only write two letters, and even if it's the same letter repeated, you're going to be chayev. Now that's a little bit difficult because from our Mishnah, you don't get that sense from Rav Yehuda. You get the sense from Rav Yehuda that it has to be different letters. The Gemara answers, Katani, I'm sorry, Katani Mia Rabbi Yuna Omer Afil Lo Kasav Elo Shtei Osios Vehin Shem Echad Chayev Lo Kashi Hadide Hadarabe. So the Gemara says there are two positions of Rabbi Yehuda. One is his own personal opinion, and the other one belongs to his Rebbe. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rami Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda, quoting his Rebbe, Rami Gamliel says, Afil Lo Kasav Elo Beis Osios Vehin Shem Echad Chayev Kegon Sas Tas Rar Gag Chach. These are all words. And if, in fact, they're going to be all words, even though it's the same letter repeated, you're going to be chayev. That's Rav Yehuda quoting his Rebbe. He himself is of the opinion they have to be two different letters. Okay? So, it's not much of a yishuv within Rav Yehuda. There are two positions. One being his position, the other espousing his Rebbe's position. Now, Rabbi Shimon Hayinu Tanakama, now as long as we quote the Braisa, the Gemara typically does this, let's see if we can iron out all the opinions in the Braisa. After quoting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then the Braisa quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and then the Braisa quoted the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Shimon is basically the same position as the Tanakama of the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Hayinu Tanakama, v'chitem alaf alaf, De Ezrcha Ika Beinayu De Tanakama Saver Aleph Aleph De Ezrcha Lo Mechayev Rabbi Shimon Saver Kevin De Iseng Begalture Ba'ama Chayev. So the Gemara says maybe the difference between them would be, what if I wrote two consecutive Alephs? Whereas according to the Tanakama, since it is two letters of a word, the word is Ezrcha, and since Ezrcha begins with an Aleph Aleph, so that is considered now a significant act, as it is the first two letters of a word. In of itself, it's not, doesn't make sense. But since it's two letters of a word, so therefore you're going to be chayiv.
If his intent was to write that whole word?
Unclear. I'm not sure. And Rabbi Shimon would say the Tanakama would say you're not chayiv. Sorry. And along comes Rabbi Shimon and say that you would be chayiv. Now, why would you be chayiv? Because it's done. Now, where is it done? Begalture. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Galture, Rashi writes, Kemeh Suk Savim Shalmach Shefos Vishal Shemos Korin Balashon Latin Shalminim. Okay. Anyone remember the Latin? Anyway, they... Okay, I don't know. Anyway, point being, however, that Aleph in certain dialects, if you will, is written. So that would be the difference between Rabbi Shimon versus the Tanakhama. Now that comes out that Rabbi Shimon is being more machmir. So Rabbi Shimon lechumer vaatanya akodech koshu chayv amagara koshu hamaabe koshu hatzar beklid sura koshu. Rabbi Shimon omer achi echzach es kulo achi grow es kulo achi aver es kulo achi yitzor kulo. Now Rabbi Shimon comes out to be more makel, and the Gemara is assuming that because he's more makel over there in that scenario, he's going to be more makel over here. El Rabbi Shimon ha'asal hashminan ashiyichtov es Hashem kulam. So the Rabbi Shimon says that you're not going to be chayiv until you write the entire word. Umimatzis amr ha'achiv ha'atan Rabbi Shimon amr va'asa achas yachol ashiyichtov es Hashem kulo. Tamul amr mei achas. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that you only have to write a fraction of the word. Teretz ve'ema achiv yachol ashiyichtov es ha'pasa kulo. Tamul amr mei achas. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what it means? It means like this. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're not going to be chayv until you write the whole word. What does it mean, me'achas? Even if you were intending to write an entire pasuk, and you stopped after writing one word, Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be chayv. That's the me'achas. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be an entire word. Rabbi Yossi Omer va'aseh achas va'aseh hena pa'amim shechayv achas akulam u'pa'amim shechayv akol achas va'achas. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chena, my time is Rabbi Yossi. Achas me'achas hena me'hena. Should sound familiar. We did this back in the seventh parak. Achas hena vehena achas. Achas. Now we're going to go over basically four different permutations. Achas Shimon meachas shem mishimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, if I wrote the word Shimon, you're going to be chayiv. If I stopped after writing two letters, you're going to be chayiv. Hena avos mehena tolados achas hena zadon shabbos v'shigeres malachos. How are you going to be chayiv even though I violated many malachas on Shabbos? Where it was shigagas, I'm sorry, you'll be chayiv on every malacha, shigagas malachas. Heina shiacha, shigagashavs v'zadon malachas. Okay. And finally, time to finish up? Yeah, let's finish up. Okay. The Amar Rav Yehuda Maskin Hashem Katan Mishem Gadol. And we're going to start, we're going to end off our shir by discussing the last position of our Mishnah, which is that if I started writing Shmuel and I stopped after writing the Shin and the Mem, I'm going to be Chayv. Why? Because it's a name. It's a small name within a large name. Well, I'm sure everyone was bothered by this. The Mem. Right, you have a problem. We have a Mesora that of the letters of the Aleph base, six of those letters have a different form of writing when they appear at the end of the word. What we call Sofit. Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Sadi Sofis. Okay, Chav Sofit. Okay, good. So, the problem is a very simple problem. When I'm writing the word Shmuel, so and my intention was to write Shmuel, and I stopped after the first two letters, the Mem that I wrote was not a Mem Sofit. It was a regular Mem. So why should that count as a Malacha? Mi dami mem deshem sasom mem deshimon pasuach. Gemara asks a very simple question. I'm Rav Chisda. So Samer sasom vasu pasuach kosher, and the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Rav Chisda says it must be that our Mishnah is of the opinion, or at least right, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion. Doesn't matter. Meaning that if I wrote a letter in right, if I wrote a sofit letter and I write it in the middle of the word. Even though that's not the preferred way to do it, but I'm Yotzei. Okay, and okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. It takes us to tomorrow's daf already. Okay, the Mem and the Samach of the Luchos. Okay, tomorrow's daf. Okay, today we wrapped up the Malacha of Choresh and Binyan. We spoke out why it is that when I bang the hammer on the anvil, I'm going to be Chayev. And the answer is because I'm improving the hammer. We then moved, I'm sorry, that was the Malacha of Binyan. Then we moved on to the Malach of Choresh. Choresh Kol Shu, you're going to be Chayev. If I ripped out grass and my intention was not to improve the land, but it was simply to feed it to my animal, then the shear changes. The Gemara asks the very basic question, well, why should it change? Am I not improving the land? And the Gemara's answer is, either we're talking about a swamp, or the Gemara's answer is that I ripped the grass out of someone else's property. Which sounds like, from the Gemara, that it's a psik resha, led us to a long discussion within Tosfos whether that's Mutar and Shabbos or not. Major machlokas within Tosfos. By the way, Hedy, I just remembered. Rabbi Flew gave a shiur about what the Rambam's position is on Psik Resha Delo Nichalei. Not clear. And then we moved on to the Malach of Kosev. The Malach of Kosev is writing two letters. There are a number of opinions. We saw all of them in the Brisa in terms of when exactly I'm going to be chayv. Does it have to be? Am I going to be chayv if I write the same letter repeated? Does it have to be two different letters? What if I started writing a larger word and I only stopped after writing two letters? Am I going to be chayv then? So there are a number of opinions. And then we finally ended up today by discussing the mem. What if I wanted to write the name Shmuel and instead of writing and I stopped after the first two letters, which meant that I left it as a mem pasuach, not a mem sofit, a mem sasum. Would I be chayev? Sounds like from the Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda, you would be chayev. Why should that be? And that's going to lead us to our discussion tomorrow about mixing and matching. Okay, we'll stop over here. Continue Refuah Shlema, Binyamin Zeva Kohen, Ben Sharon Rivka. Rabbi Chananya Ben Akash Amar Rav Tzakash Baruch Hu Zak Sol Fi Chachim Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar. Anai Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.